There's this story in the Old Testament that happens at the very beginning of the book of Joshua, when the people of Israel, after they have wandered the wilderness for 40 years, they've been shaped into a nation, and it is finally time for them to pass into the promised land. Because of some battles that they have fought and some other things that have gone on, all the people who are currently in the promised land, all of Israel's enemies, are quaking in fear. They're having conversations with each other. What are we going to do? Israel's coming. We should just surrender and get it over with. They're terrified of the incoming Israel. It's the perfect time to take over a nation. It's the perfect time to cross over and just flatten everybody who's there so that you can take this nation for yourself. And what does God do? He says, now's the time. Here's what I want you to do, Israel. Wait. What do you mean, wait? They're ripe for the picking. What do you mean, wait? This is the time. We've been waiting for 40 years for this. Longer, if you count, since the promise of Abraham. And God says to them, wait. Just wait here by the banks of the Jordan, and I'll fill you in when it's time. Just wait. Today in the Christian calendar is when we celebrate the ascension of Jesus. 40 days after he has risen from the dead, 40 days after he has spent time in conversations, he's done miracles, he's been seen by many, many, many people, it's time for him to return to heaven. It is time for him to take his rightful place back with the Father. And that's what the story that was read for us out of Acts, that's what it's about. It's the final moment between the disciples and Jesus. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for God's kingdom to come. They think, and it's evident from what they say, they think that what they're waiting for is that it's time for the kingdom of Israel to be restored. They're thinking back to those glory days after Israel had conquered the promised land and God was their king and everybody lived in harmony. That's what happens when we think back too far. It all becomes this golden picture. It wasn't anything like that in real life. But in their memories, that's what they're looking forward to again. Their last thing they say to Jesus is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not time for you to know when this is going to happen. The Father does this by his authority. You won't know. It's not time. Essentially, what is he saying? He's saying, wait. Jesus then says to his disciples, here's what I want you to do. I'm about to leave. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up and go to Jerusalem and do what? Wait. Wait. Wait for what? Wait for how long? Do what while we're waiting? We don't even know, really, at that point, how much time was going to pass. We don't know what God was doing while they waited. We do know a couple of verses later from what was read, we do know that they did go to Jerusalem to wait. We know, and we'll read this next week, that what they were waiting for was the Holy Spirit to come, for Pentecost to come, for the birth of the church to begin. But at this moment, they're just told, go and wait. They're not told what to do while they're waiting. They're not told how long they're supposed to wait. They don't know what God's up to while they're waiting. Maybe God forgot. I don't know. You get a few days in and you've had this miraculous encounter and then nothing. Maybe it wasn't real. Maybe we made that up. But how could we have made it up? We'll just stand here and wait. Waiting is hard, isn't it? It's really hard. And not just for them, but for us as well, I think. Think about when you have been saving up for a special vacation or holiday. And it's coming, but it's still months away. How hard it is to just wait for it to come. A popular kind of vernacular saying that we have is, I can hardly wait, or I can't wait. My mom used to always say, well, you're going to have to, because as time goes, you've got no choice but to wait. We wait for things like weddings. We wait and go, sometimes we think, if only it had come and gone already. I don't know, Sue, Shane, they're getting married in September. Is the waiting hard? Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to wait. You're waiting for your first child, or maybe your second or your third, and you've got all the markers along the way, but you have to wait for the right day and the right time for that to come. I always feel for mothers, pregnant mothers who are expecting their child and have a risky pregnancy, and the doctor says to them, okay, you just need straight bed rest for the remainder of your pregnancy. Oh my goodness, go lie in bed and wait. At least you have some idea of the end date of that. But really, just lie here and wait. Kids wait for graduation. They wait till the moment they get to get their own apartment. We wait for retirement. I've had conversations with people in nursing homes who were there going, I feel like I'm just waiting to die. And that's not a sad statement. They're saying, I can't wait to get to be with Jesus. I can't wait to go to heaven. I don't know why he's leaving me here, why I have to wait. I want to go. I'm ready to go. I don't want to wait because waiting is hard. It's a hard thing to do. One of those conversations I had, the woman said to me, so I decided that God must be leaving me here for something. So I must be able to do something while I wait rather than just sit in this room. So what did she do? She got to know the other people at the place that she was living. And when one of them was dying, she would go sit by their bed and wait with them. Often those people had no family. She was the presence with them as she waited. That's somebody who waited well. We don't always wait well, do we? Sometimes we just complain and we just go on and on. I can't wait. I can hardly wait for this to come. What am I going to do? Sometimes we rush ahead and we say, okay, well, if it's not happening yet, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do this thing ahead of schedule because I can't wait for it to happen. Part of what makes waiting hard is the desire just to get going, the desire to do something. We're a people, we're a culture who does all the time. We form our identities around what we do. We have a place in society, we have dignity because we do something. So when we're just waiting, I mean, I guess technically what you're doing is waiting, but that's not something that's highly valued in a culture like ours, to just sit around and wait, or just to fill your time while you wait. Waiting is really hard. I think it must have been near impossible for the disciples who were waiting for God's kingdom to be restored in Israel, whether they really understood it or not. They're waiting and waiting, and they've lived and journeyed and listened to Jesus for all of this time, and they've bought in hook, line, and sinker, and now Jesus is about to go back to the Father, and they're thinking, this must be the time. And what does Jesus say? He says, nope, wait some more. Ah, oh, how hard that must have been. He says, go to Jerusalem. My spirit's going to come. Go to Jerusalem and wait. I won't tell you how long you have to wait. I won't tell you how you'll know that it's the Spirit who's come. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to be doing while you're just sitting around waiting. Wait. Here's the thing. God's timing is perfect. If he tells us to wait, it's because now is not the time. We might look around with all our human wisdom and go, but this is the perfect time. Like the people of Israel looking at the land that had been promised to them, saying, this is the perfect time to cross over, to go in, to take our inheritance. And God says, wait. We human beings tend to think that if we can just kind of take in the landscape, we actually see the whole picture, that we see the big picture, that we know all the angles. And if we can just study it long enough, we can figure it out and we can know when is the time. But that's nothing but human arrogance, because it's impossible for us to see the whole picture. The whole scene is set out. That's what our faith in God does. Our faith in God allows us to trust God to see all of those things. If God is just saying, wait, we wait trusting that there's things going on that we have no awareness of, that he has awareness of, And we wait for him to say, now. Part of what makes waiting for a wedding not quite as hard is all the work that goes into it. Sometimes it's like, oh, I wish we'd picked a date just a little bit later. I've got so much to do, I'm never going to get it done. Sometimes what makes waiting for that new baby not quite so hard is all the things you have to get ready, especially if it's a first baby, for that first baby. We do things while we're waiting. And in fact, the disciples did something while they were waiting in Jerusalem. We didn't read it this morning, but it's a few verses later. We read that what they did was they dedicated themselves to prayer. What a great posture that is when we're waiting. When we're waiting for a promise to be fulfilled that God has made for us. When we're waiting on God to do something to get us out of the trouble we're in. When we're waiting for healing or some sign that God even knows we're alive and cares about us, while we're waiting, what a great thing to do to take after the disciples and dedicate that time to prayer. What that really means is not that they spent all their time with their hands together and their heads bowed and they said a lot of things. What it really means is they took that time of waiting to be focused on God. To be actively discerning for God's voice so that when God spoke, so that when God appeared or the Spirit appeared, they would actually know it had appeared. They would know that it was time because they had been focused on God. The problem with our waiting is we look for distractions while we're waiting. So we get busy doing other things. And then when the time's up, when it's time to go or whatever it is that God wants to do, we miss it because we're distracted by other things. We forget to wait. So what's the right posture of waiting? Focus on God so that you will hear him. You will recognize him. When he finally says, this is the time. We've had lots of years in this church that have been times of waiting. A church as old as this goes through all sorts of ups and downs and backs and forths and all sorts of things in its history. Sometimes there have been times when the congregation has said, God has something for us, but not yet. We have to wait. We have to discern. We have to think. We have to listen for God. I think that in some ways our church is going through that right now. We have, many of you are aware, we have a group of people who are meeting fairly regularly to try and figure out how to be sustainable with regards to a church with a building like this, with a congregation of our size. All the questions of how to be sustainable, how to be effective in ministry, how to make sure that we're paying our bills, all of those kind of things. And some of us just want the answer now. Like, now let's figure it out. Let's get going. Let's take care of any deficit we have. Let's just do it. But wise people say, how about instead we wait, we listen for God, and then when God says go, we go. And we're sure that we're going in the right direction because we've waited for God and we've listened to God to push us in that direction. Sometimes people are trying to figure out what on earth to do with their lives. Often it's a problem that young adults have, but it can follow us throughout our lives. We get to a crossroads and we don't know whether we should go left or we should go right. Sometimes we just leap whichever direction. Sometimes we wait and we listen and we turn our focus on God so that when God reveals to us what he would have for us, we're listening. We hear. It's clear. Our Christian faith is such that we refer to God as being sovereign. That means our God is king. We say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What that really means is that God sees it all and has it all under control. That even if the disciples thought that maybe God forgot about them a few days in of waiting in Jerusalem, maybe God forgot, they trust that God is sovereign. And they can just sit there and wait, letting God work it all out in God's timing where God is. Some of us do that well, some of us don't do that well at all. But I think in our lives, that's something that we can learn. is that we can hold on to God's sovereignty and thus make the waiting a little bit easier. Doesn't mean it's just going to be smooth sailing. But if we can trust that God actually does have it under control, that God does know what he's doing, that God hasn't forgotten about us, and that God's timing actually is perfect, then perhaps we can wait in peace with the kind of stance that those disciples had in Jerusalem, being told, just wait. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that for everything there's a season, a time for every matter under heaven. And then it goes on to say all the times there are. That's a verse that just says, the writer just says, in faith, for everything there's a season. God has a time for everything. I can let God's timing be. At exactly the right moment, Jesus returned to the Father, where he took his place at the right hand of God. And at exactly the right moment, the Spirit took Jesus' place in the world. I don't know if you're waiting on an answer for prayer. I don't know if you are waiting for healing, if you're waiting for hope, if you're waiting for someone that you love deeply to get their act together or come to know God or whatever it is that you are waiting for. I don't know why God doesn't just answer us right away. I don't know why sometimes it goes on for years before we see the answer to our prayer. But I do know that in the waiting, God is faithful. I do know that our God is sovereign and he hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't stopped listening to your prayers. He hasn't given up on the people that you love. And that it is enough to just wait with our eyes on God, our ears open, and just wait, because God always fulfills those promises and God always answers. In the words of the psalmist who said, "Be still and know that I am God." Wait, know that I am God.